Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As many of us brace for the possible second wave of the virus to hit, there are efforts across Northumberland looking at how we are adjusting to the ongoing challenges we face. Today's show looks at two aspects of the ways our community is adapting. When the pandemic first hit Northumberland during the lockdown in March, within a two-week period, Venture 13 pulled together a micro-manufacturing operation to create personal protective equipment for hospitals, seniors' homes, and others within the county. If that wasn't enough, it was recently announced another innovative enterprise is helping to protect frontline workers in this county. If that wasn't enough, it was recently announced another innovative enterprise is helping to protect frontline workers in the county. This new startup company created a scanning device that is being used by police, firefighters, and paramedics to quickly determine if people have a fever, one of the many signs a person is infected with COVID-19. The device is so successful, it is being introduced as a potential tool for companies and public places to check if employees or anyone entering an office or a building is potentially sick. This is a story about a young man from Campbellford who is behind this technology and the people at Venture 13 who have created a new business that has the potential to go global. So let's begin with my interview with Joseph Miller, Business Development Officer for Northumberland CFDC, and Alex Papanikolaou, founder of Thermoscans, a brand new company that has come to life here in Northumberland. I'm so pleased to have with me today Joseph Miller, Business Development Officer for Northumberland CFDC, and Alex Papanikolaou, founder of Thermoscans, a brand new company that came to life here in Northumberland. Gentlemen, welcome to Consider This.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So let's begin. Alex, can you tell us what is Thermoscan device and how does it work?
Yeah. So Thermoscans, our first product is called Thermal Eye, and it is a forehead temperature scanner. So the way it typically works is a user will walk up to this. It can be wall mounted, or it can be set on a tripod, for example. Essentially, the user will get a reading that either tells you whether you have high or low temperature through a green or a red light. So it's very simple. Scans take just a couple seconds or so, and it's kind of something that would normally go in front, at the entrance of a building or so, has been used kind of as part of the sign-in process for, initially staff and then kind of going forward, especially as the provinces began to open up, also more public facing in that sense.
What does it look like? How big is it? What color is it? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so right now it's about 170 millimeters by 70 millimeters. I guess it's just a little, it's about the size of a typical phone, maybe a little taller, if you will. And it's got a thermal camera and a regular camera on it. And the idea is you walk up to it, it detects that someone's in front, and then it takes your temperature and then gives you a result.
And that happens instantaneously?
That happens within a few seconds, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much instantaneously as part
of
the process.
So why is this device so significant in the face of the pandemic?
Yeah, so essentially one of the key symptoms of this virus, and indeed most viruses going forward too, is fever. So our device is an additional safety measure that companies, businesses can take to essentially prepare themselves for, you know, like public or staff coming in, kind of an extra safety check to see if like someone has, you know, a fever as part of that sign-in process.
Okay, so how does this compare to, say, one of those gun thermometers we see sometimes in pictures or in video, where they sort of point a device at our head and take a temperature?
Yeah, so actually it's pretty similar. Our device does is it allows you to kind of go contactless. So rather than having someone, like be on the front lines pointing a gun, forehead temperature gun, kind of at one's head, this is a contactless device that can be kind of left at the front there as part of that process.
Now, is this as good a thermometer as like the one you get in the hospital or the one you stick under your tongue when you are at home and not feeling well?
Yeah, so we've actually received an MDEL Class 1 certification recently, which is like Health Canada certification for this device. And like the accuracy is within half a degree Celsius or so, which also conforms to like some of the guidelines, for the states as well, like in terms of like thermal checkpoints like this one. So yes.
Okay, but the types of thermometer I get in the hospital where they might stick something in my ear or the one that I put under my tongue, that's taking my core body temperature versus
right.
My skin temperature, which, you know, if I'm in a warm room or I've been in a hot car or I've been standing in the sun or, you know, for 100 other reasons, my skin could get warm or I could start to perspire. So how do those two things compare?
Yeah. So actually, it's quite interesting. Like the guidelines for like some of those devices, like you say, there's armpit, there's ear, etc. And they all have different temperature ranges that are considered normal. So with the forehead temperature, like 38 is like being considered as you've got a fever. In terms of a threshold, whereas that value can be, you know, slightly lower or slightly like, you know, higher or so for like other parts of the body. And that's been cataloged by like health institutes or so. And so like we're basically taking that knowledge or so and then applying it to our device. I would also say that users of like the people that have these installed in their buildings can control the threshold that get, you know, like that a user would be a user would use it and then be triggered by. So like the red light type of thing. Most like we sell it, preset to 38, but if you wanted to, you know, catch people that were, you know, 37 and above or 36 and above, you could do so. And to the point of like, yeah, what happens if you've been, you know, out for a run or, you've kind of excited your body temperature or you're, you know, in the wintertime, get really, really cold and you come in. And that's something that some institutions have accounted for by saying, you know, if you've gotten, you know, a certain result, wait for, you know, like a few minutes to acclimatize or so. And this is a problem that most scanners, you know, within like that do this sort of thing would have, honestly, just because it's measuring the like your, you know, contact temperature. So it's not invasive in that sense. Knowing this, other people's procedures have sort of accounted for it in that way.
Joe, I'd like to bring you into the conversation now. How did you first learn about thermal scans and about Alex and his work?
Sure. So we've actually worked with Alex quite a bit as he's at the microfactory at Venture 13. And as the COVID pandemic came about, we started looking, especially for first responders, for tools that could help keep them safe. And so just during our interactions on a daily basis, it came up that they were developing this thermal image technology. And we thought this would be an excellent opportunity to utilize the V13 Police Tech Accelerator to pilot a technology in a controlled environment and test versus existing technologies such as the thermal image guns, so that we could create a validated product for Thermascan, while also keeping the police safe.
All right, so tell me about this Venture 13 Police Tech Accelerator.
Sure, as some people might know, there's a collaboration between the Northumberland CFDC and the Coburg Police Service. And that started a couple of years ago through the pitch to the chief events, where entrepreneurs and public could come up with new ideas and kind of Dragon's Den pitch them to the chief of police and a few others to see if they'd be interested in taking these on. And so that was quite a successful program. And so the two organizations decided to kind of expand on that event and create what is now the V13 Police Tech Accelerator. And so what our job is at the accelerator is to look at new exciting technologies that can be implemented into the police services to help either decrease some of the bottlenecks that they might face in their day-to-day operations. And also as a way to keep the police and frontline officers safe in their day-to-day actions.
How much did the accelerator invest in this project?
So at this point in time, we're working with Thermascans on an investment with Thermascans themselves. But in terms of our time and energy and the Coburg Police Service's time and energy, there's quite a lot of significant time. We had a number of volunteers that would sit at the door and take manual temperatures to compare versus the actual Thermascan device to ensure the validity of the technology. So it wasn't just, there's not just a financial investment that we're looking at doing, but there's also the time commitment as well. So
how many dollars are we talking about?
In terms of the investment or in terms of?
So we
have two different programs. We have the program called Scale Up and Startup through the Police Tech Accelerator. And so this, these are the two programs we're looking at to run for different pilots and investments in companies. There's the scale up or the startup, sorry, that is looking at early stage technologies, whether it's academia or startup. And those are to do in around $5,000 to $15,000 investments. And then Scale Up is our more larger investment program where we're looking invest in SMEs to complete different projects for the police services. And that's around the $50,000 range.
So how much did this particular project receive?
So this one, we've done approximately 5,000 so far through the development and purchase of different units. But we are looking at seeing if there's additional investment that we can put forth as well.
Alex, how big a difference do these kinds of investments make to you as an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, like Joe was mentioning before, like there's a few different, like the community aspect of it was honestly a massive, massive like support in terms of like what makes a difference to our company. Like, of course, part of it is the financial, but part of it is being able to validate in the market. So many startups, you know, kind of like they prototype a product or so, and, you know, they, you know, do the best they can and they, you know, they chase investment or so, but ultimately they kind of need someone to either pilot the device with or, you know, put it out and then test kind of the market validity. We've had really the great pleasure of being able to work with these guys and, you know, the town of Coburg and, you know, other partners to really like validate and roll out the product before kind of like scaling up significantly, which is sort of the stage where we're headed, we are now.
So Alex, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Campbellford for 18 years. I went to elementary school, high school there. And yeah, I graduated, went to U of T and studied engineering. I got a degree in electrical and computer engineering or so. I've worked at Apple for a year on their iPhone team before coming back and working with a professor of wearable computing and augmented reality for a couple years before moving back, to Coburg or so, learning about Venture 13, being quite excited and kind of wanting to be a part of, this whole community. Ever since then, it's been quite a lot of fun in that sense, being able to prototype and, produce these things. And now, of course, we've got, unfortunately, for the COVID pandemic, face of things have changed quite a lot. But now I've got thermoscans, and I'm hoping that this can at least, help and make a difference.
How important was the pilot testing in terms of having it being done locally?
Right. Well, actually, it's Northumberland's quite interesting in the sense that, we've got places like Venture 13. We've got a pretty innovative town. We've got manufacturing. So especially as part of the kind of next stage of scale up or so, being able to be situated physically amongst, all these partners like V13, the acceleration of being able to have those, that proximity makes a massive difference. Being able to produce our prototypes locally, at the microfactory, it's not very far. I don't have a very far commute, say, from where I live to this place. So for me to first of all, do experiments, try out any issues or kind of collaborate with people, it's all done within such close proximity that, a massive progress can be done within a day rather than, for example, if we had, established a base in Toronto or so, it probably wouldn't have, I don't see it necessarily being the same kind of community level effort maybe that it's really felt like here, of course, as a company, it's a company, but having the support and that support network, for various aspects, that relate to product development and deployment and, financial and, various levels of support. That's something that happily one finds quite easily in this place.
This is rather incredible because this is the second time I've done an interview about things that have been done around pandemic and their ability to inspire entrepreneurs to respond locally, why it's been significant that this has all happened here in Northumberland.
From my perspective, I think it's been really, really quite nice to have Venture 13 in the companies within this, under that umbrella, if you will, because similar to what Alex was saying, it was very nice for us to be able to say, here's this technology, we're happy to test it using Coburg Police Services and some of the facilities we have. But as things happen, they can adjust, modify based on our comments to create a viable product at the end. So that was really, really helpful for us to have that two-way communication and the quick responses from Thermoscan to be able to go, okay, well, that's not working. Let's try something else. And be able to quickly, pivot in direction based on the comments from the pilot itself. So from our perspective, it's really, really nice to have that the facilities here that provide both the manufacturing, the resources available to Thermoscan to build out the product, to test and validate it, and then have that community feedback and the resources to disseminate the technology but in a pilot scaled environment instead of trying to just find and claw their way into the marketplace, right? So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No,
but
it's fine. What I'm also interested in, though, is I guess as people living in Northumberland and our listeners are hearing this, it is rather awe-inspiring or gobsmacking that we have this level of innovation happening at a local level, and then to have it cultivated locally and then be something that applies to not just help our area, which it's doing right now, our local police. I noticed on the website that it's also being used by the ambulance services. It's being used by the fire department. I mean, there's a number of organizations, local organizations, that are using this technology to further it and to develop it. So, I mean, it's amazing just how this is so local, and yet we're talking about a tool that could potentially be used anywhere in the world under 100,000 different circumstances to be helpful.
Exactly.
So I'd like you to help us get our heads around just what's going on over there on Darcy Street.
Sure. So I think you hit on something that I was quite shocked on when I first came here. So I joined the organization back in January. And to tell you the truth, when I first came for the interview, I was kind of gobsmacked when I came into this facility and saw how amazing it was. And I'm not just giving talking points. Coming from the GTA prior and from other places in the States where I used to work, to find such a phenomenal facility with the resources available to companies in a small town was just awe-inspiring. And it's been quite interesting because as we've developed different projects, we're starting to see companies from Toronto, Markham, et cetera, that we're working with going, you know what? I actually might think about moving my entire company out there, or I might look at setting up a seat in Coburg because it's a much nicer place to live for my family. And also I don't have to deal with the commuting problems, and also it has all the resources that I need there at Venture 13. So I think seeing that happen is quite dumbfounding for me as well, right? So
it seems like the investment community is interested in this area of thermal imaging and thermal scanners. Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, was sending out a report talking about the potential for growth in this area. The report includes companies that make thermometers that we put under our tongues, the ones that the hospitals use, plus the thermal imaging scanners used that you're working with. The same report was also widely distributed on various business wire services as well. It seems like there's this huge interest right now in investing and the potential of this kind of device.
Sure. Yeah. So I think something like this is extremely important. You look at the pandemic, but you look beyond this as well. If you look at some of the reports from WHO and CDC, Health Canada, they're expecting more pandemics to come more often now. But even regardless of that, the investment in a thermal screening unit is going to be beneficial for your employees. Being able to go out and check and have an employee come in sick and kind of infect the rest of the group can help, or I guess can help stop, these type of technologies can help stop that type of infection going on, whether it's COVID or the regular flu. So from my perspective, this type of technology, I think, will be beneficial even after the COVID pandemic passes. So it can help in many different ways. So one of the things that we're working with Thermascan now on is incorporating this technology into our cell blocks at the CPS. And the reason for that is this can now act as a triage unit for if an individual who is being booked is found to be sick, it can stop the transmission of whether it's COVID or flu or other infection from hitting the judicial field or the corrections field. by being able to triage that individual to, say, a hospital to get treatment prior to, sending them to the corrections departments or judicial markets, then you're looking at stopping transmission and stopping the touch points between somebody who's infected with an infection or a disease or something like that from infecting others that could be in the hundreds to thousands of people that they could come into contact.
When you hear about large investment companies that are saying there's great investment potential in this particular area that you're working in, what message is that sending to you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, well, as an entrepreneur in that segment, it's energizing, really. What other words would I use to describe that? It's like we're basically hot on the money, essentially a type of product like this needs to move fast given the kind of climate that we're in. What this is signaling really to us is like we've got that kind of level of financial backing, you know, potentially.
Are you finding it easy or hard? Have you had any interest? Has somebody come forward yet to place some larger dollars than what Venture 13 is offering you to scale up and to start to turn this around?
Yeah, so we have had an investment in about $200,000 within the last couple months or so that has also been kind of helping us to prepare for that scale up. Yeah. So like definitely there's been a lot of interest in pushing this forward from that.
On the other side of this coin, there have been some articles in the Washington Post, the Atlantic, CBC, Global News, just to name a few, who quote experts saying that these type of tools are not very useful when it comes to controlling the spread of COVID-19. They measure only skin temperature, which can fluctuate. We talked about this a little earlier, things like a warm room, hot flashes can affect them. So how do you respond to those kinds of things?
Really, if you want to detect if someone has COVID or not specifically, like the most reliable method of doing that is to take that nasal swab or those tests where it actually links the pathogens, to the like chemical receptors or so on, on the swab, and gives you same with most viruses. That's kind of like the most accurate way of doing that. Obviously, that's very invasive and very exposes healthcare workers, to the virus. And whatnot. Our device really is just kind of an added security measure that it's kind of just another check, that we can do passively rather than invasively to prevent the spread. Maybe more to that as well, is we've had interest in being able to integrate our device with fob access, doors and whatnot or so. So like in terms of, if someone crosses a certain threshold or so, like maybe limiting access in that particular, way.
I think what this, as Alex has said, is this is just another tool in the toolkit that helps provide kind of more data for people to make more informed decisions about whether or not they should be heading into a workplace or whatnot, or if you need to be more careful around, say, an individual who is being booked in a cell block. So to me, it's a way to it's another data point that can provide information to make informed decisions for people.
So going forward, what are the next steps?
Yeah, so certainly next steps for us is to scale up. As demand increases or so, we've been able to produce right now, of course, our units in the microfactory, which can accommodate kind of in the range of like hundreds. But now, especially as we pursue, a sort of a more international reach as well, we we're kind of looking to partner with a local manufacturer to be able to produce these en masse. So that's kind of where bulk of the energy is going. And of course, investing in more software engineers or engineering expertise to like further improve on the system in terms of like what it can do, or kind of prepare for the new normal where like maybe thermal scanning isn't going to be the only, like, you know, the only thing that this device would do, right? Like there could be like many like secondary like applications to this.
What's it mean to the CDFC and Venture 13 going forward?
Yep. So the V13 Police Tech Accelerator, we've been working with them now for about, 4 months. And we've just implemented a second pilot with Thermoscan, as I'd mentioned earlier, in the cell blocks. And to us, that is where we see a big bang for our buck, if you will. Because if we can stop transmission of one individual, whether it's influenza or whether it's COVID or something else, into the corrections and judicial branches, that can save the government quite a bit of money, I think. So just one, even if we could just stop one person from entering and infecting others, then I think we've done our job there. But I think this can be utilized in many different ways to help us throughout the booking process. And we're looking to continue the pilot and add this as a data collection point during the booking process as well, which it currently isn't, is my understanding. So
I want to thank both of you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for your time.
I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.